Begin the card daf mesachdikusubes daf lamadal. Begin on the bottom of daf lamadgimel and beis, two lines off in the bottom of the yamid. The Gemara continues discussing the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had a contradiction between our Mishnah mesachdikusubes in the beginning of this perek elanaris and the Mishnah mesachdikusmakas. What's the halacha when one is ba on one of the echad mechiva creases? For example, alochaisai. On the one hand, our Mishnah said that there's a chiv of the knas. On the other hand, the Mishnah mesachdikusmakas said that there's going to be loikin. You're going to get lashes. Now the question is, we know that obviously ain loik in the mishalman, you don't get both lashes and payment, because it says kedei rishasa, you only get one penalty, not two different things. So what's the halacha? Is it like our Mishnah that is tashlumin, or is it like that Mishnah that says you get lashes? So there was an interpretation of Ula, and there was an interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, that was which one, that basically their argument was regarding which is the primary, when you have the option of both punishments, is primary the monetary penalty, and the lashes has to be when there is no monetary, or is the primary the lashes, and that the monetary has to be talking about when there's no lashes, for example, when kishul hisru. Now, that the Gemara brought in the previous daf on Amud Beis, Rish Lakish brought a third interpretation. And he said, actually, there's no contradiction because the Tana of our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, who he holds like Mishalm. He holds that you do pay the penalty of the monetary, and you get lashes, you get both, and therefore both Mishnayas are actually complementing one another. Now, that the Gemara asked, if the town of a Mishnah is a mayor, then the coming Mishnah that says that if someone's Baal Bitoi, where that's Chiv and Mises Bezin, that you're Pata from the Knas, why? The whole logic of a mayor's opinion that you get both is because they're coming from different Besukim. And therefore, although it's happening at the same time, not like the Chacham who say if it's at the same time, you only get one, if it's coming from two different sources, you can get both punishments. Now, Baal Bitoi is also coming from two different sources. The punishment of the Chiv Mises Bezin is from the Psukim in the Arayas, and that of the penalty of Ma'anis is from the Parsha Ma'anis. So if it's based on Reb Meir's opinion, our Mishnayas, so therefore, why don't you say that you're going to be Chayiv in the Knas there too? So the Gemara says, oh, there's a difference between, because he holds Laiku Mishalim, you can get both lashes and payment, but you can't be Mase Mishalim, you can't get the death penalty and pay too. The Gemara asks, but seemingly there is a brice that says clearly, for example, a case of when someone steals a shur haniskal and they slaughters it, or if he steals and slaughters an animal on Shabbos, or if he steals and slaughters it for avodah zarah, where in that act of slaughtering, you're A, going to be chayiv misa for chilul Shabbos or avodah zarah, and B, at the same moment, you're also going to be chayiv for the liability of dal v'hen. Reb Meir says you're going to be chayiv even though it's mesa mishalim, again, because they're coming from two different sources. So therefore, you see clearly that Reb Meir holds that you are Mesa Mishalim. So the Gemara answered, no, actually, that case is not talking about Mesa Mishalim. It's talking about Tevech Ade Acher. The Mishaleach had somebody else slaughtered for him. So therefore, he's not getting any Chiv Mesa. But at the same time, that's what the Gemara had answered. We have three different interpretations in the Gemara as a source for that, although he himself didn't do it. And generally, in Shliach D'Avera, here the action of the Shliach will be attributed to him at least for the monetary penalty of Da'al Behe. So therefore, it's not a case of Mesa Mishalim, and that's why we could say that Reb Meir holds Leiku Mishalim, but not Mesa Mishalim. And therefore, Rish Lakish could be correct that the interpretation of our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, where you get both Leiku Mishalim. But still, at the same time, the next Mishnah is Toma Bitoi will be Ein Mesa Mishalim. You can't get Misa, which you get when you're Baal Bitoi, and pay the Tashlumen of the Knas. Now that's why Gemara continues on this statement. It says, if it's true, the way the Gemara had interpreted, that the Braisa that we quoted from Reb Meir, where he holds, let's say, when you're going to B'tevach B'Shabbos, or going to B'tevach B'Diskechavim, or going to B'Shabbos, in this school, Tvachai, talking about where the guy himself didn't slaughter it, he had someone else slaughtered for him. So that's why Reb Meir holds that you can be Chayiv for the Tashlumen, because it's not Mesa Mishalim. So then, my Tamayu D'Rabbon in the Patri, but there is a Chacham and Patron in that Braisa. Why would they hold you exempt? If we just illustrated that there is a shliach, ledva avera, for the halach of dal v'hei, either because it says oi, or because it says tachas, or because it's compared to mechira, either way, that is a shliach, if the guy himself is not doing it, so there's no two punishments, so why would the chacham say that you're exempt? Why wouldn't they agree that you're going to be chayiv in that case, if the person himself is not doing it? So the Gemara says, ma chacham, who is the chacham in that brice that says that you'll be exempt? That is, as we continue on top of lamadal madalv, that is Reb Shimon Hi, who he's quoting Perek Merubim Baba Kama, and in regards to Kisei Adam, regarding covering the blood of an animal, or the halacha of Oisei Bes Benoi, which is that you cannot slaughter the animal and its child on the same day, where the Amr Reb Shimon qualifies in general. Shechita she'ein eruya lo yishma shechita. A slaughtering of an animal that will not make it fit, in other words, the whole purpose of shechita is to thus permit this food to be eaten, to have and pleasure from it. Shimon holds any slaughtering that is not legitimate, which will not permit it to be eaten, doesn't have the status as if you ever did a slaughter. That's not called slaughtering. It might be killing an animal, might be chopping its head off, but that's not called slaughtering. And therefore the chum of the previous brisa, the Argonir Meir, that even though he didn't do it himself, but since the shechita that's being done is a shechita she'ein ruya, as the Gemara will shortly explain, it's not fit to consume that food, therefore that's not considered slaughtering. Hence, that doesn't qualify for the penalty of da'al v'hei, meaning paying four or five times the value of the animal that was stolen. If it was slaughtered, because it wasn't, hence, tevachai, it wasn't slaughtered. Because shechita is only when it's permitting the food. And slaughtering on Shabbos, or by the Zoro, the Shara Niskel, is not permitting it anyway, as the Gemara explains. The Gemara asks, we could understand the way the Gemara is answering that the Chacham who hold that you're exempt, even though there's no Mesa Mashal, wasn't done by him. And still we say that the Shliach, even though it's Levave, would be Kamaisai. So we understand, let's say, the case of idol worship, when the Shliach was slaughtering it for Abay Dazar. With Halach is that Zivche Mesim, which means to say that the slaughtering for, it's called for dead, but it really means for Abay Dazar, is forbidden to have pleasure from that. So hence, that's a shechita she'ein eruya. So good, that will not be considered utvachai. So too, we understand the case of a shahar niskel, which is an ox that gored, that has to be stoned in court for that it killed somebody. So from the moment of when the Bezdin had concluded the court case, which is called Gemar Din, the animal comes forbidden in Hanoah, as the Gemara explains above a comma and Psachim, that if the Torah says that it gets stoned, obviously, it's an avela. Why does the Torah have to say you cannot consume it? So the Gemara darshans and explains that it means to say that it's forbidden to have a null like an avela even before it's even stone. So we understand regarding those two cases how the Gemara is answering that it's like Rav Shimon, who says that you're going to be exempt because you're not really getting tevachai, and the reason is because since it's a shechita she'ein eruya, it's not going to make it fit for eating anyway, because when you slaughter for avodah zarah or a shahar niskel, anyways, before you're slaughtering, it's already forbidden. So we understand that's why it's not going to make a person liable for dal v'hei. But el shechita Shabbos, but regarding the first case of the Braisa, when someone slaughtered on Shabbos, where you're doing two things at the same time, you're violating the monetary violation of dal v'hei, and also there's the chilul Shabbos of slaughtering on Shabbos, with that shechita ruyehi, that is a valid shechita. And hence, the Gemara's question is, that even according to Reb Shimon, the halacha should be that you should be considered tevachai, and therefore, since the guy himself is not doing it, he should be liable in such a case. It's not like we're doing the Mishnah Masechta Schulin. The Mishnah says, "Hashechet b'Shabbos yom kippur." If someone slaughters an animal on Shabbos on Yom Kippur, ava b'shem ischayv benavsha, even though he's liable for his life, in other words, he's chayv misa for doing chilul Shabbos or Yom Kippurim, but shchitasik sheir, it's a valid shchita. So if it's a shchita ru'uya, so then you're back to the question, who is going to be the Tana of that Braisa that says that you're going to be exempt if the way we had answered, that it's not that the person himself is doing it, he rather had a shliach, and that's how we explained that for a mayor, but then the Chachamim who are saying that it's patron, why would they be pater? Even according to Reb Shimon, it's a shechit ru'uya. If it's a shechit ru'uya, so then it should be considered tevachai, and then you're back to the question that you should be chayiv because you're not having meis mishal. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a difficulty. Because Sava the Kerbiyachan Asandler, Reb Shimon, who the Tana the Brice, that the Chum of the Brice is going, like holds the Kerbiyachan Asandler that he says that actually if someone slaughters on Shabbos and Kippurim, it's actually forbidden forever to eat it. The Tana like within the Brice. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, if someone cooks on Shabbos, so in other words, if someone does a malacha, whether slaughtering or cooking, so if it's done b'shoigig, by mistake, then yoichel, then it can be eaten even on that day, even on Shabbos. B'mezit, if it was done deliberately, then lo yoichel, then the person who cooked it should not eat it, but other Jewish people could eat it. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Second opinion of the Braisa. Reb Hudam, he says, b'shagig, if it was done by mistake, then yoichel, then the person could eat it, but it could only be eaten l'matzah Shabbos. On matzah Shabbos, after Shabbos, not on Shabbos like Reb Meir had said. And the reason is because we penalize someone that does it by mistake, utter b'mezid, when he will do it, because, and if he does it deliberately, when it is forbidden, so we say that even when he does it by mistake, it's forbidden on Shabbos. B'mezid, if it's done deliberately, then lo yoichel, then the person cannot eat it. Olam is forever, rather, but other people could eat it. B'yochanan loimer, and this is the opinion that we're saying that Reb Shimon would hold like, he says, bishag yigivu is done by mistake, yachal l'matzah Shabbos. Then it can be consumed on matzah Shabbos only la'achirim for others, v'loilai, but he can never eat it. B'mezid, if he cooked deliberately, lo yechal l'alames, it cannot be eaten forever, loiloi v'loi la'achirim. Not for him and not for others, meaning for any Jewish person, but the inference what it's trying to say is, but he could sell it and he could give it to a non-Jew. Now, therefore, we see clearly that all the cases fit into Reb Shimon's criterion of a shechita sheina ruya, of a dezara, because zivcha meisim is aser, sharan niskel is already aser b'hanah already beforehand, so the shechita is not doing anything, it's a shechita sheina ruya, and even on Shabbos, as we see regarding Bishul, doing a malach on Shabbos will not make the food permitted, it will be forbidden forever, which is like Reb Yechanan Sandler. So although we brought a Mishnah Chulin that obviously does not say like that, regarding Reb Shimon, he holds like Reb Yechanan Sandler, and therefore he's the chacham, although it was alei de achar, but still it's a shechita sheina ruya, and therefore there is no liability of utavache. But the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Yochanan Sanla, what's the reason of Rabbi Yochanan Sanla that he says that what's called Maisa Shabbos, when there's a violation of Malach and Shabbos, that it's forbidden to consume that food? So that's because the Darish Rabbi Chiya, Apischa de Ben Nasi, it's like Rabbi Chiya had expounded upon by the opening of the house of the Nasi, where it says a pasuk in Shemais, it says, Ushmartim Esa Shabbos, you should safeguard the Shabbos, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem, because it's holy for you. So there's a comparison between Shabbos and Kodesh, which is reference to Hekdesh, things that are for Hashem. So ma kodesh as a bachila, just something of hektish is forbidden for one to consume. Af ma'isa Shabbos as from bachila. So too, an act that was done on Shabbos, meaning a malacha, is also going to be forbidden to consume. Now, then the question is, ima kodesh as bano, but then if you make the comparison, then say, just like hektish is not only forbidden to eat, but it's even forbidden to have pleasure to. So af ma'isa Shabbos as bano, so too, an act that was done of chila Shabbos should be forbidden to have ano, and therefore you wouldn't even be able to, let's say, sell it to a non-Jew. That's what the pasuk says, that ki kodesh hi, it's kodesh, but it's lochem. What does that mean? Shalachem yehei, it should be yours. Meaning you own it. It's not aser b'hana, but it's still like kodesh that's forbidden to be eaten. Now, yachal afilu b'shogeg, you would think that even if it was done by mistake, let's say that it was cooked, that it would be forbidden to eat, that, and let's say the person didn't know it was Shabbos, it would still be forbidden, which is not what Rabbi Yochanan Sanla said. But that's what the pasuk teaches over there, that the one who desecrates Shabbos will get killed, meaning when there's a chiyuv misa, that's when the context of the pasuk was saying that there's going to be a isra achila of Shabbos, like hektish, which is b'mezer amarti lecha. It's only when you did it deliberately that I said that it's going to be forbidden like kodesh, which is again in the context of, as we see there in the pasuk, which tomat, when there's a chiyuv misa, mechal lehom moisyumas, not when it was done by mistake. And that's the source for Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, where we see that when it's done b'mezid, which again is the case that Reb Shimon, who sees the chachamim of that brisa, who was arguing Reb Meir was going on, which was we were saying that there's no mesa mishalim, but it's still that there's an element of b'mezid over there, that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds, that b'mezid then is going to be considered like kodesh, and it's going to be aser forever, but b'shogeg, that's when Rabbi Yochanan Sanla said that then there would be some permission for something that was done on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says the pligibar of Ach of Ravina. There's a machlokes between Rav Ach and Ravina and how to explain this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sanla. Chara ma'maisa Shabbos deraisa. One says that actually something that was done forbidden, a malacha on Shabbos, is actually a biblical halacha. When it's done deliberately, it's forbidden min ha-Torah to eat it forever, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sanla. The Charam and the Rabban, one says that no, it's only rabbinic halacha. So the Gemara explained. Mandam adayrais, the one that says it's biblical, it's kedamon, like we said from the pasuk, like Rabbi Chiya had said, where you see that we compare Shabbos to Kodesh, just like Kodesh is forbidden to be eaten, so to Shabbos. But Mandam and the Rabban, the one that says it's rabbinic, amakro Kodesh shi. No, he expounds the pasuk, says that Shabbos is holy, which is he Kodesh, ve'masel Kodesh. Shabbos is holy, and therefore that's something that can be desecrated. But the actions of Shabbos are not holy. In other words, if someone does chil Shabbos, meaning with his actions, that's not a holy thing that then becomes forbidden like Kodesh. And therefore, it's only a rabbinic halacha, but actually midei raisa, that there's no prohibition of consuming this thing that was cooked or slaughtered on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so then the question comes back. Ulamandam and Rabban, according to one of these two Amiram, that says that the whole halacha of Rechon HaSandla of Maisei Shabbos, that if someone does a malacha, let's say, of cooking or of slaughtering on Shabbos, that is going to be forbidden forever, for everybody, is only rabbinic. So then the question is, so my time married the Rabbanan. So what's the reason of the Rabbanan that argue under May of the Bryce on the previous daf? The patri that they exempt from the knas of dalad vehei of 4 or 5 times the value when you steal and then you slaughter. And the reason is, since as we had established in the previous daf, that the slaughtering was done through someone else, and we had to say that because we wanted to explain for Rish Lakish that Remeir does not hold Mesa Mishalim. And the reason why you're Mishalim is because you're actually not Mesa because someone else did it. But then the question is, even according to Reb Shimon, it is a Shechita Ru'uya, at least Midaraisa biblically. So therefore, you should be Chayiv for the Dal Vehei of the case of Tavach B'Shabbos, because this Isra of having it eaten to make it Shechita Shein Ru'uya is only Rabbinic. But biblically, it is a Shechita Ru'uya. So therefore, you should be Chayiv. So the Gemara says, according to that man, the Amar, this Amor, that holds Reb Yochanan Sanlas Halacha is only Rabbinic, you're right. Kikopat Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan, who again we explained that's Reb Shimon, holds that you're going to be exempt is only of the Halach of Dal Vehei is only Asha'ara. It's only on the two other cases. There's 3 cases in the Braisa. They hold that you're right, the case of Shabbos, of course you would be Chayiv. It's just that they argue on the other two of Avodah Zarah and Shahar Niskel, where there is when you're going to be exempt, according to Reb Shimon, because there's a Shechita, She'eni Ru'uya, and therefore it's not called Utavachai, to make one liable for the Halach of Dal Vehei. Now the Gemara goes back to expound on that Braisa, which primarily in the opinion of Reb Meir, who holds that you would be chayiv, and the reason is, as we explained, because it's not Mesa Mishal. But the Gemara asks, Teveach l'avodis kachavim. Take the second case, when it was slaughtered for avodah zarah. The problem is, kiven de shachad bei porta itzer lei, once you already slaughtered the animal just a little bit, then it already becomes forbidden. In other words, as the Gemara says in Masechta Zechulin Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that if, let's say, somebody's friend's animal was laying in front of him, and he went and was ready for the purpose of avodah zarah, and he slaughters just one of the simonim, meaning there's 2 pipes, there's the windpipe, and there's the food pipe, and he slaughters just one of them, it already is considered like he did avodah zarah with this animal, and it becomes, like we said before, zivchei mesim, it's already forbidden bahana. Now, idoch kiko tovach, now when he slaughters the rest of the animal, Lav demore katavach, he's not slaughtering the animals, the owner's animal, and the reason is because it was already forbidden ma'anot to the owner. Now, the halacha of this obligation of dalad vehei, which is what they're discussing in this braisa, it says utavachoi. Now, that means to say that the liability is only when you conclude the shechita. Now, the problem is, before you even conclude the shechita, which is when you do at least the majority or the 2 pipes, it already became forbidden by non the owner. Now, from that moment, it was already lost to him. And the reason is because even if it was still around, it wouldn't go back. It's not the owner's. And therefore, the question is, even according to a mayor, the person should be exempt from dal behei because you can't have with tavachai. The reason is because tavachai is when you finish the shechita. That's when it's considered a shechita. In hilchah shechita, in halach is a slaughtering. The problem is that you can't never get to tvicha because tvicha is slaughtering that person's animal. But when you did already 1 sign, it already became avodah zarah. It already became asa b'hanah. You're not slaughtering his anymore. So how do you ever become liable when you did tvicha avodah zarah? So Rava says, bo'imer b'gemar zvicha hu avda. The case is talking about when the person who is slaughtering it, again, as we explained, it's talking about a shliach, but it's talking about that he's saying that when I conclude the slaughtering, that is when I want it to be an avodah zarah. In other words, he's not doing avodah zarah, even though if you didn't say specifically, it would be right away when you slaughter part of it for avodah zarah. He's saying, I don't want it to be for avodah zarah until I finish. Oh, it's at that moment when you conclude it, and that's why you having it tavacha, because when you're slaughtering it is that other person's, and Remeir holds that it's from 2 different psukim, so therefore you could have both the person could have the liability of the dalad behe. Now, similarly the Gemara asks, regarding the 3rd case of the Braisa, Shar HaNiskel, the problem is when there's an ox that gored, which killed a person, which has to be stoned in Bezdin. Now, so when the Bezdin already concluded their court case and they verified that this ox has to be stoned, Shar HaNiskel lav di dehu dekotavach, that the person that's slaughtering it, who, let's say he stole a Shar HaNiskel and he's slaughtering it, he's not slaughtering that person's, again, you're back to the same problem. It's not utavacha, it's not slaughtering that other person's ox that you stole, because the moment it became a Shar HaNiskel, it's not anymore his. It's already us about no. It's like it's nobody's because there's no hanoha you could have out of it. So how can you violate utavacha on the Shar HaNiskel to be liable dal vehei? So Amar Rabba says, what we're talking about over here is we're talking about a specific case. The owner of the ox had given over his ox for safekeeping by a watchman. Now, the hizik bebeis shomer, in the house of the watchman, of the guardian, of the custodian, that's when it had damaged and hurt somebody else. Now, the nigmer dina bebeis shomer. Now, while the shomer was still watching it, that's when the court had already decided that it becomes a shahar niskal and has to be stoned. Now, the case continues. Now, this thief who stole this, what we're calling a shahar niskal, that he later slaughtered, he stole it from the house of the watchman. Now, importantly, as the Gemara points out, the mayor, who he's the one that's saying that you could be liable for dal veha in this case, first of all, Savala Krib Yaakov, and second of all, Savala Krib Shimon. As the Gemara explains, Savala Krib Yaakov, which this machlik is Rabbi Yaakov, is in a Sechtes Baba Kama, the Amar that he says, Af Mishen Nigmer Dinoi, even after the Gemara Din of the Shahar Niskel, if it's already a Gepask in the Bezin, that this animal has to be stoned and therefore has no value whatsoever, but Hechzirish Shemel Abal of Mukhzer, if the Shemer returns the ox in this state, which it has, what are you giving back to me? It has no value. It's considered as if the Shemer returned it and he doesn't have any liability. And the reason is the Gemara there says, because the Shemer could tell the owner, look, you give me an ox, I'm giving an ox back to you. Now, although it looks like an ox, it smells like an ox, it walks like an ox, but in value it has zero value because it's going to be stoned, still Rabbi Yaakov holds that you can return exactly the item as it is, even though monetarily it has zero value. Now, that's first of all. Second of all, the Sovala Krib Shimon, Rabbi Yaakov Krib Shimon, the Amma that he says, Dava HaGoyim LeMaman, something that, although it doesn't have any value of money itself, but it would cause money, then Kamamadame has the halacha like money itself. And therefore, here this case is the same thing. That although this ox, once it was already decided and bezin, that it has to be stoned, has zero value, because it's going to be stoned and it's forbidden to have any enough from it, but it's what's called a goyim lamamon. It causes financial differences. And the reason is because when it's not around, meaning when this guy stole it, then the shomer has to pay a full-fledged ox to the owner. Had this guy not stolen it, which is something that has no monetary value, but it's a goyim lamamon. The reason why it's a goyim lamamon is because this shomer could have given back the ox as is to the owner because he holds a Rabbi Yaakov. But now that this guy stole it, he is as if he stole money, and therefore it still qualifies for the halacha of a tevachai because it is something that is the shomer's, that is the owner's, because although it's already decided it's a shahar niskal, but it's a goyim lamamon, and something that's a goyim lamamon is kamamon dami, so it is on some level like their monies, and hence it is a violation of utavachai. Now this halacha of Reb Shimon is brought in Masechtas Baba Kama, Perek Meruba, where he illustrates this halacha regarding the halacha of a kachim, where one is responsible for anything that happens to it, which is called his chayim nachrayis. The halacha is that there would be a penalty of dal vehe. The reason is, which that's the Rav Shimon that we're quoting, because although the hekdesh is not mamon bailam, it's not owned by the owner, so you're not really stealing someone else's thing, and regarding hekdesh, there's no knas, because the Torah says regarding dal vehe has to be re'ehu, his friend, not hekdesh, still Rav Shimon says there would be a penalty of dal vehe because it is goyim lamamon. How so? Because although it's not the owner that you're stealing it from when you steal his carbon, but he has responsibility, he's liable if anything happens to it to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, it's a goyim lamamon that Rabbi Shimon says is kamamon dami, and hence the one that steals it is like it's as if he is stealing that person's money, and therefore he would be liable for a tevachai for the liability of Dal Behe. And that's the case that Rabbi Meir is talking about, that when you're tavach shahar niskal, that if someone stole it and slaughtered that shahar niskal, that it could be liable for Dal Behe, because since it is Davagrim Lamaman, it is Kamaman Dami to be considered as if a Tavachai of that person's Shar. Now the Gemara goes back to what we had said in the previous stuff. Rish Lakish had resolved the contradiction of the Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubis, our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechtas Makis, regarding when someone's Baal HaChaisai, one of the Chayva Krisis, that it's Loiku Umashal. Now the question was that it seemingly we had a Braisa that says that Rabbi Meir holds that you even Mase Mishalim. And if you're Mase Mishalim, then the coming Mishnah that says when you're Baal Bita, you're Pata from the Knas, you should be Chayef. If it's like Rabbi Meir, he should hold that as the Braisa says clearly, that you're Mase Mishalim too. So even though you're getting chiv mises bez in the case of bita, more than the case of karas of our mishnah b'chaysay, you should still have both because they're coming from two different sukkim. Now on that, the gemara had answered in the previous daf that no, it's talking about teveach ala de acher. That it's, that brisa that Meir says that you can be chayiv, even though similarly a case of when you slaughter on Shabbos, which is meis mishalom, there's no meis mishalom. It's talking when someone else slaughters it, and therefore the person who sent him is not getting death. But as we learned in the previous daf, three different sources that even though it's a shlich of avera, the mishaleich would be chayiv. Now on that, Rabbi Omer, he says lo'olam, truthfully, you don't have to contrive it and say it's talking about a case of when there's teveach de acher. He says, "La'olam mitaveach al di'asma." That brisa could be even talking about when it was slaughtered by the thief himself, where then essentially it seems like that you're getting a liability of death because you did chil Shabbos or avodah zara, and you're going to be mishalem, as Ramey says, "Kli pein dal behei." So then we seemingly are back to the question, seemingly that Ramey holds that you are meisim mishalem, and if he is the town of a mishnah like Rish Lakish says, then the coming mishnah of Baal Bitay should be chayiv for the knas. Now, that the Gemara explains as we continue on Tamid Beis, but Remeir, truth is, Remeir in general holds that when there's a liability of a monetary payment, you're loikum mishal misle, you'll only have that, you'll have the penalty of lashes and payment, but mesa mishal misle, but you will not have the death penalty and have to pay. And that's why by the case of Bitoy, the coming Mishnah, you will be exempt because that's actually Chiv Misa, not like our Mishnah, which is just lashes. Now, but Bishani Hani, but the case of the Bryce in the previous Daf, when you're going to be liable for Dal Vehei, they're different. That Knas of Dal Vehei is different because the Chiddush is a Chiddush Torah B'Knas. This is a novelty, which a Torah was Machadish in the context of the laws of a Knas. Knas means to say that based on monetary law, you didn't really create a tangible damage that you're going to have to pay for. There's no loan, there's no damage, but that's what's called a knas. The Torah penalized the person for what he had done. Now, the whole parsha of knas is a novelty, and therefore, that's where May will say that Avagav demikto mashalom, even though the person is going to get killed because he's slaughtering on Shabbos this animal that he stole, or he's doing it for Avodah Zarah, even though he's going to get killed, he still pays. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, according to Rabbah, that if you're saying that you're using this to resolve Remeir for Rish Lakish, but then the question is, then that doesn't answer the case of Bita in the coming Mishnah, because that's also a Knas. That's the whole Parsha Ma'anis is a penalty, and yet still Remeir says you're going to be exempt in the case of Bita. This whole answer is only working well to differentiate between, yes, generally Remeir holds that you're not Mesa Mishalem, but for Knas he holds you could be Mesa Mishalem, but so that definitely is a good division that you can make, but that still doesn't resolve the question that the Gemara will address later on, because the case of Bita itself actually is a knas of Ma'anis, so therefore you should still be chayiv if Remeir holds that you could be Mesa Mishalem when it comes to a Mishalem of knas. But be that as it may, the Gemara says that we see that this differentiation of that the Gemara is trying to say in Remeir, that generally you're right, he holds that you're not Mesa Mishalem, but still that price is not difficult because that's talking about knas. And knas is something that you could die and still pay. Because as the Gemara says, as Rabbi goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, the Rabbi said, if let's say someone already had a stolen kid goat by him, meaning he stole it during the weekday at some time, and he's already liable for the principle of what he stole, and then on Shabbos he slaughters that person's goat that he stole, where what that means is that the primary monetary obligation for the goat did not happen on Shabbos. Only the liability of the knas and dal vehei is happening on Shabbos. When he's slaughtering it, he's doing both a chil Shabbos and the penalty of dal vehei, which is to steal an ox or a sheep that you stole, then chayiv. Then Rabbi says, you're going to be liable for dal vehei, which is the penalty of paying four or five times the amount. And the reason is, as we just explained before, that Rabbi holds, knas is a chiddush, and Rabbi holds like a mayor. And therefore, since Remeir holds that you could be Mesa Mishalem by Knas, so he says in such a case, with the Knas of Dal Vehei, you would be liable for slaughtering on Shabbos. And the reason is, Shekvar Neschayiv B'Gneva Koidim Sheyovel De'Issa Shabbos, because the primary penalty, the primary monetary obligation of the theft, happened before Shabbos. So that didn't happen at the same time. So that you're liable for. Now the Knas, that we said, although that is happening on Shabbos, but for that you could be Mesa Mishalem. However, if Ganav V'tavach b'Shabbos, Let's say the person stole and slaughtered it and did all this on Shabbos, where the primary obligation of the principal of the money happened on Shabbos. So then, Potter, then Rabbah would say that you would be exempt. The reason is because that we know, even the Kohen Trey Meir, as the Gemara was saying for him, that you're not Mesa Mashalim. Now, as Rashi explains a little bit deeper, and that is, since you're not liable for the principal, so although we said, what do you mean? So fine, the principal, you're not Mesa Mashalim. But the Knas of Dal Vehei, which is adding three or four times of what it's worth, that you should be liable because that's a Chiddush Yer Mesa Mashalim. So Rashi says, no, you can't be liable for the knas if you're not liable for the principle of the theft itself. And the reason is because the Torah calls it the payment of four or five times, not a payment of three or four times. In other words, four or five is the principle plus. So if you're not being obligated in the principle, there's no three or four. It's only if there's principle, then adding three or four will make it four or five. Now, moreover, Rashi explains that obviously we don't hold like Reb Nosson, that he says in Masechet Shabbos, that the animal carries itself, or it's somewhat that the animal has been tied down. In other words, Rashi is coming to explain, how is it possible that you're doing a Chil Shabbos, meaning when you transport the animal, when you're stealing it, that obviously that there was a Chil Shabbos, and therefore that would be a mace or mishalim, which you don't have with primary money. It's only by the halacha of, by knas, which again you can't have knas in this case because you don't have the primary money. And that is as we explained, because Shem Ein Kneva, because if there's no theft, in other words, that once you're going to be exempt for the primary principle, because you're going to die for what you did, when you stole it, you transported, you did the Isra Dairaisa of the Melacha Beitzah, so then Ein Tvicha Vemechir, as we said before, you can't have the penalty of Dal Vehei, because it says Dal Vehei and not 3 and 4. It's only 4 and 5, not 3 and 4. And therefore, again, this is Rabba Lishitasa, that we illustrated this divide in Remeir, that although you're not Mesa Mashalim, but by Knas, you are going to be Mesa Mashalim. Now, similarly, Rabba says, Vama Rabba, he says, Hoygedi Gonovloi. If let's say there was a kid goat already stolen from the weekday, Utvache Bemachteres, and then he slaughtered it while he was caving under a person's property to go ahead and steal something from him. Where in that machteres, when he's digging under the person's house, that's when he slaughtered it. Now, essentially, that's like a case of Mesa Mashalim, because at the moment when the person is digging under a person's house to steal from him, he's what's called a dead man, meaning if the homeowner finds him, he could kill him, as the Pasuk says in Shmos Chabbeis, Ein Lo Damim. He doesn't have any blood, meaning you're absolved if you kill him. Now, so therefore, if it was already stolen from beforehand, and now he's slaughtering it as he's digging in the person's house, so then chayiv, then he will be liable for the knas of Dal Vehei for slaughtering it, even though he's, so to speak, meis umeshalim, because he can be killed at this moment. The reason is, shekvanes chayiv begnev, koed mishriyav l'deyes machteres. He already was liable for the primary money of the principal before he came to the machteres, because that was during the weekday sometime. Now, at a later point in time, when he's digging, so then, although yes, he's so to speak mace, but he could still be mashalim because it's a knas of dal vehei. But if ganav v'tavach b'machteres, if he stole and he slaughtered it, both when he was doing the machteres, then he's going to be exempt. And the reason is she'im ein ganav, because if there's no theft, and we said there's no theft, in other words, because since at that moment you're mace, you're, so to speak, could be killed, so you can't be mishalim for the primary principle. So, although that the slaughtering is only a knas, which you could be mes mishalim, but if you don't have the primary theft, then ain't tevichem emechir, then you can't have dal gimel v'dal. It's only dal vehe. Now the Gemara says utzricha, we needed both of these halachas of Rabbah, which seemingly seem to be saying the same idea regarding dividing of mes mishalim if it's mamon or if it's knas. Why do we have to say two cases of both of Shabbos and of machteres? The reason is because diash min and Shabbos, had we only said regarding Shabbos, that maybe we would say mishum de isur isa oilam. Shabbos is an eternal prohibition. In other words, anytime witnesses would come along and say that this person desecrated Shabbos, so Bezdin would kill that person. Now, therefore, that's a very stringent death penalty, where that would be strong enough to exempt a person from money because you can't be mesa mashalim. But when one is digging under someone's house, where that's only a temporary death, in other words, Because if the homeowner doesn't find him that moment, if he finds out 10 days later that, oh, you were digging under my house, he can't kill him anymore. So Emeloy, I would say that that's not Mesu Meshalem, because it's only a temporary thing. Maybe that, although at that moment when he's slaughtering, he's, so to speak, mace, but it's not enough of mace, which is an eternal mace. It's only at that moment. Maybe that would not be enough to exempt him from the monetary payment. Now, v'yashmin machteres, and had we only said it regarding the case of machteres, we would say, mishum de machteres rasay, zuhi asru asay, because there's a stringency, it's a very stringent halacha by the death penalty one gets for digging under someone's house, because we say his digging is his warning. In other words, you don't need a special warning to warn a person when he's digging. He can be killed right away when the homeowner kills him in self-defense. So maybe over there, that's a very stringent death where we say regarding the primary principle that you can't be Mesa Mishal, and therefore you're exempt on the Gneib. Alva Shabbos, the Boy Hasra, but for Shabbos, that even if someone did Chil Shabbos, and even though it's an eternal death that you can get for being Mechal Shabbos, but it's only if the person was warned beforehand, Emaloy, I would say that's not such a strong death, because it's only if you were warned, and therefore if someone does Chil Shabbos, maybe he would still be Mesa Mishalim. That is why, Tzricha, that's why we needed to have both of these versions of Rabbah, one regarding Shabbos and one regarding Machteres. But again, the primary point why the Gemara introduced this was that we could even say, as the Gemara proposed, that, and this is Rabbah Lishut Tassai, of when the person himself slaughtered the animal on Shabbos, and yet still he'll be liable for the knas of Dal Vehe, and that's because, as Rabbah said, that although you're right, Remeah holds Ein Mesa Meshalim, but here is a unique chiddush in Knas that you could be Mesa Mishal. So although the person is Chayiv Misa, but still, you could be Mesa Mishal. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, he said, Para Genuvalai. If let's say someone already had a cow that was stolen by him, or Tvach B'Shabbos, and then he slaughtered on Shabbos, and like we said before, then he's Chayiv, Shekvan is Chayiv, B'Gnev, Koyit Mishal, the Isra Shabbos, he was already liable for the primary theft already before Shabbos, and for the fact of the slaughtering of Dal Vehei, you could be chayav again because that's knas. Hey, sapara shulalai, but if it was a cow that was only lent to him, utvach b'Shabbos, and then the cow that was lent, which he has to give back, instead of giving back, he actually slaughters it on Shabbos, then pater. Then he's going to be exempt. And the reason is because that moment that he slaughters it is actually the moment when he's stealing it from the owner. Because up until now, it was the owner's, because it was just lent to him, he was borrowing it. And hence, therefore, it's what's called Misa Momen are happening at the same time. That's, again, you're not Mace Umishalem. So therefore, it's not just that the Tvich you're doing, which is the Knas of Dal Vehei, you're actually doing the theft at that moment too, when you're slaughtering it. So that is Ein Mace Umishalem. So therefore, you're going to be exempt from both the Gneva and obviously you can't have Gimel Vadalad, and therefore you'll be exempt from the Knas too. Now that the Gemara asks on Rav Papa, Amli Rav Acha B'Rei D'Ravel Rav Ashi, Rav Papa Paros Lashmina? What's Rav Papa coming to tell us? What is it that we don't know from the case of Rabbah, who is talking about a kid goat? So what Rabbah is teaching us, the same thing applies to a cow? He's saying the same halacha that Rabbah had said. Rabbah said the same halacha. So what is it to give? So Rabbah is talking about a gedi, and he's talking about a par? So Amalei, so he said to him, no, you're right. Regarding the first half of Rabbah's statement, that was the same thing that Rabbah had said. But the second half, Rabbah shu'ula aslashmina. Rabbah is coming to teach us a chiddush in regarding the second case when he had a cow that he had borrowed, that when you slaughter it on Shabbos, yeah, you're doing Chil HaShabbos, which is Chayv Misa, and there's a Chiv Tashlumin of stealing from another person, that he was saying that you're exempt from the payment. That was what he was coming to teach. And the Chiddush in that is because Sogat, the Chamini, we were thought to say, Chayil V'amra Papa, since Rav Papa says in Perek HaSecher HaSapaylam, he says that Mishas Meshicha Hudis Chayiv Lebe Mezay Neseha, the moment that one draws the ox that he's borrowing, the cow that he's borrowing from his friend, it's from that moment that he becomes responsible in feeding the cow. So Hachanami said, therefore, we would have said here also, that actually, the moment he borrows the cow, he's already responsible in anything that happens, which is even the oinis, which a shoyl is responsible for. That it's at that moment that he borrows it, that he's liable in the principle. Now, therefore, what that means to say is that when he slaughters it on Shabbos, we would think that he would be chayiv. And the reason is because although the act of thieving is happening when he's slaughtering it, but the liability on the principle is not from now, it's from when he borrowed it. Now, it was only triggered now, but it triggers it back to when he had borrowed it. And therefore, maybe he would be chayiv on the Gnei Van Hentz, he would even be Chayav on Dal Vehei, because you could be Mesim Mishalim. Kamash Malam, that's the Chiddush of Rav Papa, that no, that the reason is because as long as it's still around, so then it could just, it itself would just be returned to the owner. So essentially what Rav Papa is saying is that the moment that it was slaughtered is when he's stealing it. And therefore, if that's the moment that he's stealing it, and that's when he becomes liable for the principal, so therefore you're going to be exempt that for the Gneva and of the Dal Vehei, because it is going to be considered Mesim Mishalim, which you cannot have regarding Momen when it's not Knas. Now, related to this discussion we're having regarding Parsha Ula, Barad Ka, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amar Rava. He says, Hanich lehna avin Parsha Ula. If, let's say, the father who passed away left over for his orphans a borrowed cow, meaning he borrowed a cow. So the halacha is, Mishtamshin ba koyime she'lasa. So the orphans could continue using the cow for the entire amount of time that the father had borrowed it for. Now, Mesa, if it dies in the time that they're using it, Ein Chayavim Ba'Einza. They're not going to be liable for something beyond their control, where the reason is because although a Shoyal is Chayavim Einzin, but they didn't borrow it to be liable for Einzin, so they're going to be exempt if an Einzin happens. Now, Kizvur and Shalavim here, let's say they didn't know their father's estate, they just see all these things he left over. They think this cow is their father's. Now, V'tavchua V'achlua, so they slaughter it and they eat it. And then they find out, lo and behold, it wasn't even his. He had borrowed it from someone else. So Rabbi says, Meshalman Dimei Basar Bezel. What they do is they pay the amount how much cheap meat costs, which is that we evaluate every zuz as if it's worth four donkey, meaning you get two-thirds of the value is what they have to pay. As he more explains himself to Baba Basar, and then the hide goes back to the owners. Now, however, Rava concludes his statements by saying, "Hanich lehenavin achrayis nechasim." But if their father left them over, which is a reference for karka, for land, which is called achrayis nechasim, because generally land is not movable property, which therefore that's something that is always used as responsibility for property, meaning it could be used for a lien, it's always there. So if their father left them over land, then chayav l'sham, then they are liable to pay. Now, on that, the Gemara explains, regarding that last statement of Rava, there's actually two different versions of what he was referencing to. Ikud demasni lada, those that say that this that he said that if the father left him over achrayis nechasim mini karka, then they have to pay, that it was going aresha, on the resha, meaning regarding that the resha said that if the children, the orphans use this, they're not liable in einsin, and that is what Rav was saying, but if the father left him over karka, then they are liable for einsin. And the reason is because his nechasim, the borrower's nechasim, their father who passed away, became Meshubba, there was a lien on his property from when he was still alive, when he had borrowed it, and therefore, then you're going to be, the orphans would be liable in Einzim, because yes, it's not them, but it's the land itself that has the responsibility for their father who had borrowed it. Vikudimas and Las Sefer, now those that learn that Rav was going on the last statement that he said, of that if they thought it was their father's and they slaughter it, that then they pay in cheap meat, but if the father had left over karka, then they have to pay full price. As Gemara explains, Mad Demasla Aresha, the one that holds that it was going on the Rav's first statement, well then Koshken Haseifa. All the more so, if they're liable Noinsen, that means to say that the land itself has the responsibility, for sure when they slaughter it and they eat it, that they have to pay, make a full payment. And therefore, and moreover, Upliga de Rav Papa, comes out that according to this version, Rava was arguing Rav Papa, because as we just illustrated this just before, the Rav Papa said that it's the moment when the slaughtering happens that the responsibility of Einzin is actually takes effect. That's when the liability happens, not from when it was borrowed. Now, obviously, if we're saying that Rava is qualifying his first statement that the Yisayim could be responsible in Einzin, even after the father's death, because they have karka, must be was because it was Mishas She'ela, when the father had borrowed it, that the liability happened for him on his karka. It's only triggered later on, that makes it not like Rav Papa. But Aman de Mastin La Sefer, the one that learns Rav's qualification is going on his last statement, meaning when they slaughtered it, if their father left them over karka, then they have to make a full-fledged payment, not just two-thirds, not cheap, how much cheap it would cost, then you could infer Avla Rei Shaloi. But that would not be the halacha regarding the resha, that if, let's say, it died through an einus, they would not be responsible to pay. And obviously the reason would be of this second version, would be because we do not say that the father's property were already had a lien on them for when he had borrowed them. And that is behind Rav Papa. That's like Rav Papa, who he said before, that we do not say from the time it was borrowed that then the responsibility of the payment was already there. It's only that when the time of the oinus happens, then the liability happens. And therefore, at that moment, the shoyl is not due anymore for him to be responsible and to have a shibud on his karkois. And there's only assignment. The assignment not the borrowers, and therefore they're not responsible for the oinus. And therefore the Gemara says, depending on which version we explain Rava's last halacha like, it would depend if he's saying like Rav Papa or not. Again, defining when is it that the responsibility of the oinus happened. Is it from the time of when it was borrowed or from the actual oinus happens? Now, the Gemara concludes the discussion of that had started in the previous dafim regarding this machlekes of these, what the contradiction of these two mishnayos, Masechtas Ksubos, our mishnah, and Masechtas Makos, regarding when you ba'al achaisai, if there's a tashlumin, which is the knas, or is there's leika, which is the lashes, and that Masechta and Masechtas Makos. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam the Rabbi Yechanan. We understand the current Rabbi Yechanan that he explained that the case of our mishnah is talking about when the one who cohabits with his sister wasn't warned beforehand that this is an erva that you're forbidden to. Therefore, he said that although generally you're leika and not mishalim, here you're going to pay the tashlumin because there is no malchus because there was no warning. Now, we understand according to him that lo'amaka Rish Lakish. He didn't say like Rish Lakish, who resolved the contradiction by saying that our mishnah is like Rameyu, who holds that, not a contradiction because they complement each other, that you're leika mishalim because they're kamukam l'karabonim, because he wanted to say that the town of our mishnah is like a majority opinion, which like that of Rabbanan, and not like a minority opinion of that of Rameyu. Why is the Rish Lakish not saying like Rabbi Yechanan that he should say that our mishnah is talking about when there was no warning, and that's why you'll pay? But generally, we'll say like the Chachamim that you are like a ve'ein mishal, and that's the understanding of the mishnah Masechtas Makos. And our mishnah is talking about when there was no hasra. So why do you have to say it's like Remeir, like a das yachad, that you're like umishal? So the Gemara says, Amalach Rish Lakish would tell you that I can't say like Rabbi Yechanan. Because kiven de ilu astre be pater, because as Rabbi Yechanan's agreeing, had it been that the person had a warning, then he would be exempt because you're saying that you like kiven mishalim. So if they were warned beforehand, this person who's Ma'anis' sister, he would be chayv and malchus and thus exempt for the tashlumin of the knas. So kiloy astre be nami pater. So even when you're not warned, you're still going to be exempt since there is an element of malchus that could be here. So he says, I can't say it's like Drabbanan, because automatically you would not be chayv in the Tashlumin, since you could have, if there was a warning, to have Malkus. So I had to say it's like a mayor, that you're like Umishalam. As the Gemara explains, they're actually going according to the opinion mentioned elsewhere. This machlik is of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan. As the Gemara says, the Chiyasra of Dimi Amor, when Dimi came, he said, regarding the following case, of Chiyav and Mises Shoigigin. In other words, those that, let's say they did not have a warning of something that this would be a liability of a death penalty. It was actually the person that done it by mistake. But had he done it b'mezid, he would have gotten, meaning had he been warned, he would have gotten the death penalty. Or v'chiva malka shaygin, or let's say someone did a violation that he would get lashes if he had done it with a warning, meaning deliberately, but actually he did it by mistake. V'davar acher, and there was another element there too. There was an element of monetary obligations too, of a compensation. And as Rashi explains, it's actually going on both cases. In other words, either a case of chiv misa shegin and money, or chiv malkes shegin and money. And now we have the following machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Omer Chayiv. Rabbi Yechon says, as he says in our sugya, that you're chayiv, you're liable in tashlum. And the reason is because that's the only thing you have left. There was no warning. There is no malkes. There is no misa. So of course, so then you'll be liable for the tashlumin. Rish Lakish on Mapad, Rish Lakish says, no, you're going to be exempt. Because even though you're not getting death, you're not getting lashes, but you could have if there would have been hasra. So therefore, even though you're not getting it, you're still going to be exempt from the tashlumin. As Igmar explains, Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayiv, he says, you're liable for the tashlumin, the Holy Asherbeh, because there was no hasra. And therefore, it qualifies for Kadei Rishah. So you're only getting punishment for one violation, which is that of money, because you're not getting punished for Miso or for Malkus. But Rish Lakish Amapate says you're going to be exempt, and the reason is because Kivin De'ilu Asrbe Pater, because had it been that if he would have been warned, he would have been exempt from the Teshlumin, because he would have had only the Miso or the Malkus. So kila asur beinami potter. So therefore, even when you don't get warning, you're still going to be exempt from the tashlumin, which the Gemara later will explain. Why should that be? Why would that be kidei rishasai? Why would that be a problem of having tashlumin if you're not getting it, even though you could have or would have or should have? Now, eis v'yish lakish abiyichin. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan to hold that you are going to be chayiv if you didn't have asra. That the pasuk says in Shemais, and the pasuk there begins in Shemais Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis, if there are men that are fighting, the not for ishahara, and then by mistake someone hit a pregnant woman, the yatsi yolada and caused her to miscarry. So the pasuk says if v'loye asin, if there's no fatality, anish yanish. Then he gets a monetary payment, a financial obligation of paying for the devaluation of the woman now that she miscarried the fetus. Now that the Gemara continues top of Lama Hema Alav, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan, "My love, Asin Mamish." Now, how do you interpret this pasuk? Isn't it talking about literally a fatality? In other words, that it's saying that if there is no Asin, meaning if the woman doesn't die, then the one that had hurt her, that caused her to miscarry, then onish is going to be liable for a monetary obligation in the fetuses that were miscarried. Now, the inference is, if the woman did die, then he's not going to incur a financial obligation of a monetary value for the fact that he had caused the fetus to be killed. And the understanding sounds like, even if he wasn't warned, doesn't say anywhere that he had to have a warning. Now that's difficult to contra b'yechanan, because the contra b'yechanan, that if he holds that there is an obligation of a monetary obligation when you don't actually get killed. But here it sounds like it doesn't make a difference in all situations. If there's a fatality, that then there's going to be a monetary obligation. If there is no fatality, then there's going to be an obligation. Now, Esvei Yishlakash Rabbi Yechanan. Yishlakash asked Rabbi Yechanan, who he says that you're going to be liable for the payment if, even though it's a situation where you can get the death penalty or lashes, but if you don't practically get it, then the one risha that you could be high for is the monetary element. So now Rish Lakish asks from the pasuk in Sefer Shemais. The pasuk says, it's in Sefer Shemais, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, it says, if men will be fighting, v'nog for ishahara, and by mistake if one of them will have injured a pregnant woman. So it says, b'yotzi ladeha, and if the child, the fetus will come out, meaning that there will be a miscarriage. So then it says, if v'loye asin, if there will not be a fatality, then anish yanish. Then the one who had hurt this woman, meaning causing the miscarriage, will be liable for a financial obligation for the fact that he caused the miscarriage of the fetuses. Now, that the Gemara continues the top of Lamahemar Al, for Rish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yechanan, my love asin mamish. Now, if you read the pasuk, it sounds like that it's talking about unilaterally that it's talking about a fatality for the woman. In other words, what the pasuk is saying that if not going to be an asin, in other words, if the woman's not going to die, then the one who had caused the miscarriage will be liable for the loss of the fetuses. But the inference sounds like, but if the woman died, then in all situations, the one who had killed her will not be liable for the monetary obligation of the fetuses. Now, which that sounds like, even if he wasn't warned beforehand, meaning that, and if he wasn't warned, he's going to be exempt from the death penalty. And yet still it sounds like that he's going to be exempt from the monetary obligation too, because once there's a fatality, then there's no anish anish. Now that's difficult to contribute, who he says that if you don't get the death penalty, for example, let's say when you're not warned, then you would be chayv in the tashlumen. So the Gemara says, loy din asin. It's actually tomat that there's a liability of a fatality. What does that mean? There's two ways of interpreting the pasuk of that if there is no asin, anish anish. Rish Lakish had in his question, he was interpreting it that if there's no fatality of the woman, then there's the financial obligation. Rabbi Yechanan is answering, no, actually the pasuk saying that if there is no din asin on the damager, on the person that hurt the woman, if he doesn't get killed, for example, if the woman doesn't die, or even if she died but he wasn't warned, then onish yonish. That's exactly like Rabbi Yechanan, where that the halacha is that as long as you're not mason mishalim, where although that there could have been, but if there wasn't, so you're not getting the death penalty, lo yasin means to say that if he doesn't get a fatality, the one who caused the injury, so he's not mace, so then it's anish anish, then he has to pay the tashlumen, even if it was a case of where the woman died. And actually, Ikadamin, those that say the version the opposite way, that Eis Rebbe Yechon Rish Lakish, is Rebbe Yechon who is asking on Rish Lakish. The pasuk says, "V'lo yeh asin anish yeh anish." So Rebbe Yechon's assumption was, "My love din asin." Isn't it saying that if there's no death penalty to the person, there's no fatality for him that caused the damage, then it's anish anish, he has to pay the money, even though had there been a warning, then he would have died, and then he would have been exempt from the money, and still you see that you have to pay, which is like Rebbe Yechon. The Gemara answers, "Fresh lakish lai asin mamish." He interprets that the fatality is in reference to the woman, and that if the woman doesn't die, then you pay. But if the woman dies, then even if there is no hasra, then Rish Lakish would hold that he holds that you're going to be pater, because since had there been a warning, he would have been exempt. So even in this case, when there's no warning and he is exempt from the misa, he's still going to be exempt from the tashlumah.